cheap electronics are changing the world, even in poor countries. In Africa, governments or private companies are erecting cell phone towers. Now, many developing countries have more cell coverage than the U.S. The effect of this was brought home for James Malini last summer, traveling in a local-style taxi across northern Tanzania.
We were picking people up at one stop. We saw an old Maasai warrior in his Maasai warrior garb, and he had a tunic, he had a leather belt, he had his machete in his leather belt, and he also had a cell phone holder for his cell phone.
Malini was in Tanzania as one of 23 students scattered across the country, volunteering with the Durham-based nonprofit Engineering World Health. Engineering World Health is one of a handful of small, non-governmental organizations that have emerged in the past few years to encourage Western engineers to share their knowledge and expertise in the developing world. Melissa Beard directs the program.
The point of Engineering World Health is really to inspire and mobilize the biomedical engineering community and to demonstrate the impact that appropriate medical equipment can have in the developing world.
EWH was inspired by a sabbatical Duke professor Bob Malkin took overseas in the 80s. During his time away, he saw that people had color TVs and VCRs, but they had no access to decent health care. Malkin is a biomedical engineer. He saw that part of the problem with healthcare had to do with electronic equipment that didn't fit the setting. Maybe the machines have the wrong voltage, or they're too expensive to maintain. For example, Malkin describes a seemingly simple device to treat babies with jaundice using blue light.
The light bulbs in the device only last about 6 months. They cost about $300 for the light bulbs. They're specialty light bulbs. Now, in the hospital across the street in Duke, they just replace them every 4 or 5 months. It's $300 every few months. It's not a big deal here. The developing world, that's a huge amount of money.
So at Duke, Malkin started classes and an engineering lab to study technology that's appropriate to healthcare in the developing world. And students have flooded his program.
I actually find this current generation of undergraduates, anyways, absolutely driven by service. They want to serve. So we get far more applicants than we can take.
About a decade ago, Malkin started bringing students abroad for the summer to work on medical equipment in developing world hospitals. That program evolved into Engineering World Health. Right now, dozens of engineering students are in Tanzania and Central America repairing medical equipment in rural hospitals. Adam Kuzrak is a mechanical engineering student at Duke. He was one of 23 who went to Tanzania last summer. He says after a crash course in electronics repair, he and the others were sent to rural hospitals to fix what they could.
We worked on a couple computers that were broken. We worked on autoclaves, which are sterilizers, suction pumps, a lot of lamps, surgical lamps, as well as an x-ray machine and an ultrasound machine.
Kuzrak says much of the equipment at these hospitals had been cast aside. He says at first, the Tanzanians were skeptical college kids could repair the complicated electronics, but the EWH kids had been provided with tools, and they'd grown up around complicated electronics and understand them.
But once we fixed them and once we showed them that we were capable of doing, a lot of the members of the staff started bringing in their own materials from their home, like their countertop stove, or one person even brought us their TV for us to try to fix.
Kuzrak and the others quickly learned why there were so many broken electronic devices. One big reason is the unreliable power supply, both blackouts and fluctuations in current. And that has consequences.
Their life hangs in the balance. Not because of a device malfunction or a health complication, but a power outage.
That's James Malini, the student from the beginning of this story, narrating a video about what he saw in Tanzania.
We saw many hospitals that had power outages in the middle of the day. Some of our friends saw surgeries that ended because the power went out in the middle of the surgery.
Malini says there were backup generators at the hospitals, but the gas to run them was too expensive. So Malini, Kuzrak, and some other volunteers started talking about some way to support medical devices during blackouts. Commercial backup power supplies already exist, but they're expensive. So the group came up with an idea to create a low-cost one. They call it the Cell Saver.
Here we have our charging circuit, which is a custom design.
That charging circuit is a yellow plastic circuit board about 3 inches square.
And that's going to interface the 12-volt lead-acid battery with the recycled computer component.
That's right, recycled. Most of the pieces of the power supply have been thrown away. They use the same power supply found in most desktop computers. Cost about $5 new, maybe a dollar used.
We're going to use this custom charging circuit to interface the battery and the computer component. And from there, we're going to have a DC to AC inverter convert the power from that computer component into something that you can plug into and have this device function as your backup power supply.
And there's the device. Only 2 new parts needed. The rest can be found locally. They plan on selling it for about $10 or $12. And the battery?
The battery is going to be refurbished from, say, an old car. A lot of these we found, at least in Tanzania, to be lying on the side of the road. So not only will this device meet a need for communities that experience energy poverty, but also provide a solution to pollution problems that lead-acid batteries will cause.
Malini, Kuzrak, and 2 other guys entered the device into the annual Dell Social Innovation Prize competition. Out of more than 700 entries, they won the second prize worth $10,000. It was the only entry that relied on recycled materials. They're using their prize money to start a business making the cell savers. Melissa Beard from Engineering World Health says this is what the program is designed for.
I know it's something that sticks with them for a lifetime. I spoke with one actually 2 days ago who said it's still to this day the best thing that he's ever done. So I really think one of the indirect accomplishments that we have is turning our students into really great global citizens.
Rose Hoban, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.